My brothers and sisters in the Lord, as we gather in church this morning, as we begin our celebration of Catholic Schools Week, we give thanks to the Lord for the gift of Catholic education. And we give thanks to the Lord that He has entrusted us with this very important ministry. And so certainly on behalf of myself as pastor and all of us here at St. Benilde, we are very grateful to our teachers, our administrators, our faculty members, our support staff, our parishioners, our benefactors, and all those who work with us to ensure the wonderful ministry of Catholic education continues here at St. Benilde. My brothers and sisters, those who have heard me speak about education, and specifically Catholic education, know that I have a very important phrase that I always use, and it's this. At St. Benilde, we do not just educate students, we form disciples. And there is a big difference, my friends. Certainly, academic education is important, and we partner with parents who still form the domestic church in order to ensure that we're providing excellent academic formation. But we are here to form disciples, that is the mind and the heart, to ensure that everything that we do is preparing our children to be disciples of the Lord Jesus and to find their ultimate home and final destination in heaven. That is our goal. That is the ministry we're called to partake in. And all of us, my brothers and sisters, play a part in that ministry. We may not be on the front lines. We may not be in the classroom. But all of us form an important role in that ministry because all of us, my brothers and sisters, are called to be disciples. We're called to be witnesses. If you heard my homily last Sunday, you knew I made a difference between a follower of Jesus and simply a fan. A fan is someone who's enthusiastic about Jesus, but when the rubber meets the road, they're going the other way. Because to be a disciple, to be a follower of Jesus, means that Jesus is going to make demands of our lives. And we have to be willing to respond, and we have to be willing to say yes. And that is why we have this wonderful gospel today. The Beatitudes, taken from the Sermon on the Mount. And it's a wonderful gospel as we begin our celebration of Catholic Schools Week. Because you see, my brothers and sisters, we cannot give to anyone else what we do not have. And so if we're not striving for holiness, if we're not striving in our walk of discipleship, we cannot hand it on to our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, our co-workers, wherever the Lord may place us this day. And so we look at this wonderful blueprint that the Lord Jesus gives us as we continue to form and be transformed by His Spirit. The first thing we need to remember about the Beatitudes, my brothers and sisters, is this. And it comes in today's reading from St. Paul in his letter to the Corinthians. He writes, God chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak of the world to shame the strong. And God chose the lowliest and despised of the world, those who count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who are something. And if you continue reading on in his letter to the Corinthians in chapter 2, St. Paul begins like this. I am determined that I was with you, and I would speak of nothing with you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You see, my friends, to understand the Beatitudes means we have to understand that there is a call to pick up the cross. And there's a call to pick up the cross and follow Jesus. Because to be a people of the Beatitudes means to be a people who are crucified. To be a people of the Beatitudes, my friends, means that we're going to be foolish, and we're going to be weak, and we're going to be lowly, and we're going to be despised in the eyes of the world. But the power of God and the movement of the Spirit enlightens us and strengthens us so that no matter what the standards of the world may be, we know that, yes, we are crucified. But in being crucified, by emptying ourselves, the Lord Jesus strengthens us for our work and ministry. And so Jesus gives his disciples these Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount. I often like to refer to the Beatitudes, my friends, as the be happy attitudes. If you want to truly be happy, then these are the attitudes we have to have. And yes, my friends, the world's going to say, well, how can you take being crucified and being happy? But we don't measure by the standards of the world. We measure by the standards of God. Because it's only in dying to self and living more for God and for others that we'll truly find happiness. And so what is the Lord saying to us in this blueprint? As all of us are striving to be disciples, and as we're striving to form our children in the ways of the Lord, well, we have the 8 Beatitudes. And I want to go briefly through each of them because oftentimes, my friends, they go a little bit deeper than we first realize upon hearing them proclaimed or reading them ourselves. The first one is the foundational one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What is that? It is the call of humility. The biggest vice, my brothers and sisters, is pride. And so if we're going to be a disciple of Jesus, we have to be humble. We have to recognize God is God and I am not. And everything that I have and everything that I am is a gift from the Lord. And because it is all a gift from God, I am called to use it as gifts for others. It's taking the stance of humility. Oftentimes in our country, we think about this notion of being a self-made man or a self-made woman. God's not worrying about any self-made people. God's worrying about God-made. Because God gives the gifts. God gives the strength. God gives the wisdom. God gives the perseverance. And we are called to cooperate with it. And as we look at each of these Beatitudes, my friends, what I would invite you to do today and over the rest of this week is to take your life and place it against the Beatitude and say, how am I measuring up? How am I doing in this virtue of humility? Where is pride still rearing its ugly head? To be poor in spirit, my friends, is to be humble. Because it's only in being humble that we recognize that we're totally dependent on God in our lives. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. And oftentimes, my brothers and sisters, we only use the word mourn when we think about someone has died or a funeral and people are in a state of mourning. But the word has a much larger context, especially when you read this in the original Greek. Because to mourn, my friends, is also to ensure that we have a heart filled with compassion. Have a heart filled with compassion. To let things touch us. Do we have that kind of compassion to those we encounter, to those we serve each and every day? It's one of the aspects that Jesus is speaking about. The third one. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. To be meek means to trust. Blessed are those who trust, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are those who trust, because God will give them everything that they need. When we trust the Lord, He will give us everything that we need. Notice I didn't say everything that we want. Everything that we need. But it takes trust, it takes humility, and it takes abandonment. Moving on, we get to the meat, the center of the Beatitudes. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. When you think of righteousness, my friends, think of the word holiness. Blessed are those who strive for holiness. Because all of us, my friends, all of us are called to be saints. We're all called to be holy. Do we strive for that each day to make that a reality in our life? Do we desire to be holy? Do we know that we're called to be saints? And do we live our lives in conformity with that call? Blessed are they who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Mercy, my brothers and sisters, is giving something good to someone who does not deserve it. That's an easy definition of mercy. Giving something good to someone who does not deserve it. Are we a people of mercy? Or are we a people of grudges and anger and hostility? Do we reach out in mercy because God, my friends, has been merciful to us? And because of God's great mercy to us and towards us, do we extend that same mercy to one another? Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Our only desire in life, my brothers and sisters, should be a life that is in conformity with God's will. The clean of heart is a life in conformity with what God desires of us. As our Blessed Mother says, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Peacemakers, my brothers and sisters, here is not just the absence of war or strife, but it's the call to wholeness. Do we desire wholeness in our own lives, in all aspects of our life? And do we desire to be peacemakers to bring wholeness within our families and in our communities and in those we are called to serve? And finally, the last one, or blessed are those who are persecuted. And blessed are they when they insult you and persecute you and other every kind of evil against you. Rejoice and be glad. What is this a reminder of, my brothers and sisters? It is this, that in the course of our lives, if we're truly faithful disciples, if we truly speak the truth, in season and out of season, when it is convenient and when it is inconvenient, we can expect to be persecuted. They persecuted Jesus. And as disciples, my friends, we should never expect anything better than our Master. And when we preach and proclaim the truth, there will be people who don't want to hear it. There will be those who will ignore us. And there will be those who will outright come to try to persecute us. But it's part of being able to stand up for what is good and right and true and beautiful. I remember a few years ago, before I came here to St. Benilde, I was scheduled to give a Lenten mission at a church here within the Archdiocese. I will not name any names. And I was all scheduled to give this mission during Lent, 5 days. And I received a telephone call from the pastor. And the pastor said, Father, I'm going to have to cancel you. I said, oh, really? Was there a conflict? Did something come up? He said, no. He said, the pastoral council met, and somebody went to one of your masses, and they just said, you kind of just preached the truth a little too much for them. You're just a little too straightforward. And we don't know how that's going to go over in our parish. So we're really going to not have to ask you not to come. Now, at first, I was a little insulted. You know, the pride comes in. But then I rejoice because I was doing what God called me to do. And praise God, I hope those people on the pastoral council are on each side of me in heaven. But you see, my friends, that's just one little example. It happens to us each and every day. The Beatitudes are a roadmap to happiness. And in every journey to happiness, there's going to be the cross. It's going to mean that we're willing to be crucified. And so, my dear friends, as we celebrate this wonderful beginning of Catholic Schools Week, let us call to mind these Beatitudes, this roadmap. Let us examine our own lives against this that the Lord has given us so that we can pass that on to a new generation. to form them and to mold them. Not according to our will or our way or our desire, but according to the will of the Lord and in conformity with the heart of the church. And so we give thanks today for that gift of Catholic education. I asked one parishioner last week, what do you remember about Catholic education? And I had to laugh. It was an older parishioner, probably in her 80s. She said, I remember Sister Assumption coming at me with a ruler. Well, that's one way to form. We don't do that anymore. Although someone has come after me with a ruler before, but that's another story. But you see, my friends, our call is to be a disciple. And if we're faithful to the call, then God will provide for whatever we need. May God grant us the grace, the holiness, the courage, and the strength to follow in his footsteps.